Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good morning. We're glad that you are with us today. It's a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord together as God's people. No matter how big or small we are, we come together as one in the body of Christ. We come to worship our King of Kings and Lord of Lords and to come together to get in the Word of God. And I'm so thankful for this opportunity to be with you. I'm excited about today's message. Believe the Lord has given me a word for today, and I pray that it'll minister to all of you who are here and those who are watching and listening later on. I pray if you're watching on YouTube, Rumble, or Facebook, please feel free to share and like this message and share it with your family and friends. Get it out there. That helps us to get that word out and minister to people. Feel free to do that. Also, if you're watching for the first time, subscribe to the channel. If you're listening for the first time on our podcast, you can follow that and leave a comment on what God has spoke, how God spoke to you through the message today. And we welcome you to Manifest Church. We're glad you're with us and we're getting ready to get started. Let's pray as we jump in the Word. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for bringing us together this morning. Lord, it has been a week. We've gone, many of us have had challenges this week, have been fighting things in our lives. And yet, Lord, we stand, and we stand not by our own strength. We stand in your grace today. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the grace to stand. Thank you, Lord, for not leaving us or forsaking us this week. Thank you that you are always with us. Thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit who lives in us and comes upon us, empowers us to do what you've called us to do, to live for your glory, even in the present wicked day. Lord, I pray today that your message will cut to the heart. It will cause there to be a transformation of the mind. It will cause there to be a transformation of the life. It will cause there to be salvation. It will cause people that may have been on the fence on some things in their mind. Today will be a day of reckoning against the powers of darkness, that they will be broken in people's lives, and that you would be glorified, that your name will be exalted. Lord, you said if you be lifted up, you would draw all men unto yourself. And Lord, My goal, my desire is that this message will lift up the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and show the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord God, that you would speak through me. Use me. Holy Spirit, empower me now, Lord. I am a simple man, and your word gives a simple wisdom, Lord. And it helps us to be able to preach your word fervently and with passion, Lord. And I pray that you would do that today through me, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So, today I want to take a detour from our study in the book of Daniel. We've been looking at the book of Daniel, and I want to engage in the fight in where the fight is kind of raging the hottest in our culture right now. We have a fight taking place, and if you've noticed from day one of this month of June, it has become a month that the world celebrates the LGBTQ. This is a time right now where the world is celebrating these people who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, queer, and it goes on and on. That's why the plus is there. But nonetheless, this is what's happening within our society. Those who identify themselves as such and their allies have great influence over the systems of this world. I don't know if you've noticed, our government, the private sector, and our educational sector, those who identify and who are allies of this ideology have great influence within the culture. And we're seeing it within our government. We know started in 2015 for the first time, a president lit up the White House in the rainbow colors, not for the promise that God gave the rainbow where he would not no longer flood the earth completely again, the covenant he made with man. But actually, this is a statement of the different identities of people within this LGBTQ persuasion. And so people are doing these things. And so this is happening within our government. Matter of fact, our military, all of that, you find these things happening. And they have great influence there. In the private sector, we see the same thing. We see all of a sudden businesses kind of look at you, say, hey, I'm a bit of a, you know, LGBTQ person myself. And all of a sudden, they have everywhere you turn on, you want to go to Walgreens, it's got a little the gay pride colors. Actually, it should be, they're using the colors of the rainbow, which are a covenant sign to man that God would not flood the earth. I mean, Satan likes to take what's God and use it for his to try to pervert it. And so here's what happens. And so this is going on. You turn on to any store you want to go to. Everything is plastered to promote their religious beliefs for these ideology. And it is a religion. You need to understand that these people have convictions about what they believe, and therefore they practice what they believe. And so they do this in every aspect of their life. That's what they're trying to do to us. We see in the private sector, you go to work and they have DEI training, diverse equity and inclusion training, and they want to retrain people to think differently about what God has to say concerning these different types of things. And they try to mask it within, trying to fight racism and all this kind of stuff. But in reality, it's not about that. It's more about beginning to affirm people's sexual preferences. And so these are the things that we see in the private sector. We see in the educational sector as well. Parents, when their children came home because of COVID, things were unmasked, things that their kids were learning. Parents were just beside themselves, not realizing the kind of children's books that are in the library of the school, within our public libraries, that are teaching all kinds of sort of perverted things to children. Children. We're not talking about adults picking up a pornography magazine or anything like that, or book. We're talking about books made for children, how to do sexual acts with others, even of the same sex. And this is terrible, and this is what's happening in our world, and is happening in the educational system. And when parents saw it, there was an uprising of parents, and they said, no, we're not having this. We're tired of you trying to sexualize our children. We don't want you to brainwash our children to living this way. We want children to be innocent, as they should be. Children should be protected by us who are adults. We should not try to pervert children. Can you remember when you were a kid how innocent life was to you? And it's not when you become an adult where you can fully understand and grasp what's happening in the world. But we want to hoist this upon these children at this early age and confuse them even more. And so because the goal is to get that generation to start thinking differently. And matter of fact, parents like myself, we're viewed as the enemy. We're viewed as the enemy. And so this happens. And so we see this in the educational system. It's happening within our world. It has truly become a religion to them. They have their own flag as a symbol for their religion. And just as Christians, we have a cross as a symbol for our faith. They have a flag that symbolizes their faith, and they have their own creed. And so you need to understand that this is a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual warfare. And the message today, the title of my message today is spiritual warfare. This is important because you need to understand, as a Christian, the moment you became a follower of Jesus Christ, the moment that you confessed Jesus as your Lord and the Holy Spirit came and dwelt within you, you entered a spiritual war. And that is a war for the souls of men. And there is an enemy. His name is Satan, the devil, the deceiver, Lucifer. He is the enemy of our souls. And Jesus is the champion. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is the one who's trying to make all the wrongs right. And he did it on the cross. On the cross many years ago, he died a brutal death to take away our sin, those who would put their trust in him. And so just like we have a symbol for our faith, they have a symbol for their faith, and they have a creed to their faith, and we have a creed to our faith. And the sad thing is today, most pastors this month will not preach any sermons about these sexual lifestyles due to the fear of potential backlash, or some will altogether ignore it, hoping it will just go away. They just, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to just ignore it. Or, man, I don't want to do it because I might lose people. People may not come anymore to my church. Or who knows what their fear is. There are all kinds of reasons why today pastors are silent about the issue. And that is not what we should be. We should be speaking about every issue, because the Word of God speaks to everything that we deal with in life. How can a shepherd not feed you the Word of God so that you know how to handle the situation. Amen? Yes, you're responsible as a Christian for you to get in the Word of God and to understand what God has to say about how you're to conduct yourself in this world. But also as pastors, God has given us a responsibility to feed the lambs, to teach them, to equip them for the work of ministry, to help them understand the Word of God so that when the times of testing come, they will be able to stand on the Word of God and on the grace of God. They'll know what God has to say about the matter. They won't be confused. There won't be a different spirit speaking to them. They'll be able to discern between what is good and not, what is of God and what isn't of God. They'll be able to understand what is happening around them. Today as a watchman on the wall, as a good shepherd, I must teach what God has to say about the matter. And since this is the month the battle is raging the hottest, let us prepare ourselves to fight with the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, but mighty in God. Let's begin. I want, as a pastor and as a watchman on the wall, as a good shepherd, I want to equip you and you to understand what God has to say about the matter and remind you what God has already said about the matter, so that when the enemy comes with his lies, his fiery darts, or the fear of retaliation, you will be able to stand in the might of the Lord. You won't stand on your own might, because we're weak. We can't do this on our own. We need the Holy Spirit's power. We need the Word of God to know what is right, what the path to take, and what is the right decision that we're to make. That's why we need the Word of God. And guess where the battle rages? Satan doesn't want you in here, in the Word. Satan don't want you to listen to this message. He'll do everything he can to cause internet problems. He'll do everything he can to keep you occupied and distracted with all kinds of things. Satan will keep you from coming together with God's people. He doesn't want you around the Word of God. Why? Because the Bible says the entry of your Word gives light. And see, if we're walking in darkness, what we need is a light. And God's Word is light. Amen? And so we need the Word of God to be able to walk and to see the path that we're to take. And God's Word is light. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise. See, this battle is raging. As a good watchman, I have to warn you of what is happening. Our main text this morning is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want us to open up to verses 3 and 4. I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want you to go with me there as we read about the Word of God and what God has to say about things, and what he has to say about spiritual warfare. I want you to see this with me. Paul writes to the church in Corinthians, his second letter. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." And let's go on to verse 5 and 6. "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive. We take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." And so, and I'm sorry, make sure the main text is 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. I wanted to stop there. If you notice there, we have a war that we're in, but we also have weapons that we're to fight with in this war. And you see, you know, maybe somebody that is not a Christian, that is a pagan, it may come across this and they're thinking, "Oh, this pastor's calling for war." Yes, I'm calling for war, but spiritual war, because our enemy isn't really you, sir, ma'am. Our enemy is Satan, who is the prince of the air, who is working. He is the spirit of this age, and he is the spirit of Antichrist. He is the one who is influencing people to do things that are anti-Christ. And therefore, the one that we're fighting against is what's behind you. It's not necessarily you. Our enemy is not the person that we're engaging. Our enemy is what's behind and what is speaking through that person. It's spiritual. It's a warfare. It is something that is in the unseen realm. We don't see it, but we have spiritual eyes to know that this is what is happening. It is a spiritual battle. And as such, as Christians, we need to put on our spiritual glasses to be able to see. You know how, I'll give you a little pop culture reference. You know how when people all of a sudden that remember the goggles that came out for the metaverse, and now you people can put this on and you all of a sudden you're seeing a whole different place. You think, people think they're in this universe. Well, in the same way, we put on our spiritual glasses, and now His Word is the spiritual glasses, and we put them on, and we can see the battles raging. We can see what is happening in this unseen world. But we need the Word of God in order to see it. We can't rely on our own wit. We can't rely on our own smarts. We've got to look to the Word of God to make these simple ones wise. We need the Word of God to be a light and to our path. Amen. We need that. See, our fight is not according to the flesh. This is the first thing I want us to look at. Our fight is not according to the flesh. See, this weekend, as I've been praying for God's wisdom and on how to minister to someone close to me, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, do not react, but act. Don't react. See, when we react, our enemy is, when we react to our enemy, it's done out of our emotions, which leads to an outburst of anger. Well, let me remind you what James tells us when it comes to this. James 1, 19 through 20 says, know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You see, in James 1, 19 through 20, we see here that when man is quick to speak, when man is in his emotions, then anger arises and it doesn't bring about the righteousness of God. And that is reactionary. God does not want us to be reactionary. We are coming from a position of victory. We're to walk and we're to act upon the Word of God. We're not to react to our enemy. See, when it comes to spiritual warfare, we are not to fight like we do in the natural. You know, when somebody comes at you, you want to just, you know, get in there and fight with them and let's go, bring it, right? We want to get into that fight and physically beat up somebody who's coming at us and trying to harm us. And you know, and sometimes you have to do it. You got to protect yourself, your family. I'm not saying that you just sit there and let them beat you to the ground. But what I'm saying, in the natural, that's what we're to do. But see, this is not a natural fight. This is a supernatural fight, and this is spiritual warfare. So we do not fight like we fight in the natural. We must keep our heads and act on the Word of God and not react to the words of our enemy. See, our enemy is using people and using situations to cause us to react and get us out of the peace of God. Why? Because when we react, he knows that he's got you. In anything, if you watch politics, you can see it right now in the primaries. You can see candidates saying certain things so the other can react. And the moment that someone gets you to react, now you are on the hook. Now you're on the defensive. No, just act on what you know is right. Act on what is true. And just do what you say. You don't have to react to everything that person's doing. Just do what God's Word says. Do and act upon the Word of God. God has given us weapons that have divine power to destroy strongholds of the enemy. And we're going to get into those weapons, but I want you to understand that strongholds are lies that a person has believed to be true and is now living out. You see, when a stronghold is a place, a fortress, is a strong place, is a place where the enemy or, you know, when you're in battle, they have a stronghold, they have a place, man, it's not easy to take that battle. And if any of you remember D-Day, when the Germans had held that beach, that was a stronghold of theirs, and it was hard to take it because our people were getting gunned down the moment they opened the boats, and the moment they got out, they were just getting sprayed everywhere and gunned down, and lives were destroyed and killed because they had a stronghold there. But I thank God that they continue to persevere even in the midst of that, and they overcame. They adapted and they overcame. And in the same way, as Christians, we need to understand that our enemy builds strongholds in our mind, in the minds of people. And at times, if you're not careful, there's a stronghold within your own mind. And the enemy has a strong position there. And it's because you have believed a lie, and as a result, he has place there. You see, you've exchanged what is true and you've received the lie. And as a result, that stronghold now is there, is dug in. And it doesn't mean you can't defeat it, but you have to understand what it is. And you'll know that stronghold has you there. And you constantly are dealing with this stronghold in your mind. See, the people who identify as LGBTQ+ have exchanged the truth about God for a lie. They've done this. You know, what do you expect? Someone who's not a Christian, they're living on the desires within them, the impulses of their flesh. They're not living to please God. Now, they may be thinking they are, because there are people who claim the name of Jesus who say, I am a Christian homosexual, I'm a Christian lesbian, or whatever the case may be. We have churches today who are having drag queen story time or drag queen parties in the church today in Christendom. It's happening. And so we see these things taking place because somewhere along the line, those people have exchanged the truth about God for a lie. And as a result, strongholds have been developed in their minds. And as a result, they're living out what they believe. You see, the battle is in the mind. The battle that we have is in the mind, right here. What goes on between your ears, that is the battle. Can I get an amen? Amen. We all know that we have battles that go within our mind. There are things going on in the mind. And my role here is to remind you of that. And if you've never heard it, to tell you about it. You see, as believers, the battle starts with us. We cannot expect sinners to know fully the will of God concerning sexuality because they have rejected the truth about God for a lie. So I can't expect someone who is not a Christian to live like a Christian should live. That doesn't make any sense. If not, they would be Christians. They're not Christians. They're not followers devoted to Jesus Christ. No, they're living for the dictates and the appetites of their flesh, as we all once did. And so the issue and the place that we need to understand, it starts with us as Christians. The battle begins with us. I want you to see that this in Romans 18. This is what happens to people. And remember, these letters were written to the church, because how many of you know we all are sinners in need of salvation, in need of grace, and we were all living in these kinds of ways. You may have not been a homosexual, but you may have been committing adultery. You may have been committing fornication. You may have having all kinds of different things. You may have been watching pornography. You may have been lying, stealing, becoming you may have been a drunkard. You may have been an addict to drugs. You could have been doing all sorts of sinning. And you once knew the stronghold the enemy had in your mind. But thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ, we can have the victory. We can have the victory. But I want you to see how this happens. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. Matter of fact, do you know that in I believe in Canada, they banned you from reading Romans chapter 1? They banned preachers from preaching and teaching out of Romans chapter 1. Do you know that if we let people in our country, they would want to do the same thing? But let's start here, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 28. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanging the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameful acts with men and receiving them in themselves a due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. You see, this is what happens, the battle in the mind. They begin to believe the lie. They begin to believe that this is how I'm supposed to be. When God, we can see, listen, Romans chapter 1, verse 1 speaks of God's general revelation. You see, general revelation is there for everybody, for all people, all time. They can see through creation that God created things, that there is a creator. They can see it through what has been made. They can see the beauty of the sun, the stars. They can see the fish, the birds. They can see the animals, the creeping things. They can see the wonders of God in creation. They can see there is a creator. See, the Bible says the fool says in his heart, there is no God. See, Psalm 19 says it like this. Let's go to Psalm 19. I want you to see this. Psalm 19. It says, Psalm 19, 1 and on, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, there are no words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun. You see, creation screams to man, there is a God, there is a creator, there is one who made all this. This is general revelation of God that he is showing. That's why man is going to be without excuse. Oh, we didn't know about G. We didn't know about God. We didn't know that there was a God. We didn't know that there were things that God, and we see in creative order that God made man and woman. And you know, the major difference is that when we sin sexually, we sin against our bodies. You see, all other sins are outside of the body. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. See, God created sex. I want you to know that. I want you to know that God created sex. Pastor's not saying sex is evil, sex is bad. Sex is wonderful, and sex was beautiful, but sex was made to be done between one man and one woman for life in the confines of marriage. God, in creation, how many of you know that if God wanted sex to be done with two men, he would have created another man to be Adam's helpmate? God could have done that. And I'm not saying that to be joking, or it's not a joke. I am telling you that if that it was God's plan from the very beginning, he would have done that. But no, the Bible says God saw that it was not good for man to be alone, and he took out of the man from his rib and made a woman to be his helpmate. You see, the man and the woman have, and you don't need to to know the Bible, to know in natural and creative order that men and women's parts naturally complement one another. Naturally. It's natural. It's nature. All their insides complement one another. In other words, you have to have a man to deposit into a woman's womb in order for a woman to then conceive a child. I'm trying to be rated G here. You see, when men and women have sexual relationship, God in nature has already put the natural things in us in order to be able to fulfill His command. You see, God made them that way to be able to procreate as He commanded. I want you to see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it above, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. You see, God created sex, and it's wonderful and it's beautiful, and it's meant to be shared with a man and a woman in marriage. And in that sexual relationship, from there, they bring offspring into the world. They continue to multiply the image of God in the world. What an awesome privilege. What an awesome blessing God has given humanity. That's why the psalmist says, what is man that you are mindful of him? What is the son of man that you crown his head with glory and honor and you made him a little lower than the angels? What is it about you? What is it about me that God would give us this ability to be able to have offspring and that we will multiply and fill the earth with more of who He is? But because of sin, that image has been marred. And now our enemy, Satan, wants to depopulate the earth. He wants to destroy man. He doesn't. The Bible says that the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. You see, the enemy of our soul is not interested in procreation. He's not interested in fulfilling God's command. He's interested in destroying what God has made. Because he hates God, and because you bear his name, he hates you. I don't care how nice we put it. I don't care how sweet you are. The enemy is going to hate you because you bear the name of Christ. Because you live and you have conviction about what he says because you know his word is true. The battle, my friends, is in the mind. Saints of God, the battle is in the mind. And some of you are not engaged. Some of you are asleep. I want to remind you of something James wrote. James, Jesus' brother, half-brother, James writes in James chapter 1. I want you to see this. James chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has come, when has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. You see, the word desire there isn't in a good, it's not in a good way, it's in a negative way. It's not a positive word there, it's a negative word. And the word is epithymia in the Greek, and it means desire, craving, longing, desire for what is forbidden. You see, these things that are common to men. You see, what the LGBTQ are going through and the desires within their heart, the same-sex attraction or whatever is happening, whatever they come in their mind, maybe I'm a girl, maybe I'm a boy, I think I'm this way, I think I might be this, I might want to dress like a woman. All of these desires are within the heart of every human being. Out of the heart comes these things. This is not uncommon to man. This is not new all of a sudden in our generation. This has been going on for all time. These desires that are forbidden, these desires that rage up within men. Why? Because sin entered the world. And sin is in our nature. And there are desires that are contrary to God. And see, these are things that happen. And James is telling us, he's saying, hey, listen, people are enticed by their own desires. They're lured away. They're tempted by what's going on inside them already. You see, Satan just puts up the images, just puts up the ways to try to get you to get those desires brewing in your mind. But it's you who, within you, all these things that are going on inside your very heart, mind, your soul, these things are happening, and you're having these desires that are forbidden by God. And the Bible tells us that if any man would come after Christ, he must deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow him. You see, you can't be a follower of Jesus and not deny those desires that are forbidden. Why they're forbidden? Not because Pastor Danny says, but because God says they're forbidden. And when God tells you something is forbidden, it's for your good. When God says, hey, don't do this, it's for your good. Remember when God told in Genesis, hey, listen, you can have all this. You see, God is saying you can have all the sex you want. You can love this woman all you want. You can have multiple times of sex with her. You can do it the way you want with her. You guys can live and do it, but I want you to do it within the confines of marriage between one man and one woman. God has made it this way, and you and I have to fight the desires that want us to go outside of the will of God. We have to say, no, I'm not going to do that because it doesn't please and honor God. I'm not going to go right now. I'm not going to go with this other woman who's calling my name, who's showing me some love and respect, and maybe I should go with her. No, I'm not going to go live with someone who's not my wife, and I'm not going to be having sexual relations with her, or vice versa. I'm not going to have a sexual relation with this man, or I'm not going to continue to allow these thoughts of me wanting to be with the same sex. I'm going to fight this and say no to my flesh and deny myself. This is what Christians do, not on their own, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because, see, sinners are going to give to those impulses that are natural to them. You need to understand, James puts it very clear that the battle is in the mind. Let me read this illustration to you. It comes from a discipleship book I do. And it says, a business traveler begins to entertain lustful thoughts, even dabbling in pornography while away from home. He is losing the battle of the mind and sinning by allowing his mind to dwell on temptation. Eventually, an opportunity presents itself to spend the night with a beautiful woman, who he finds later has AIDS. Sin has come out of the mind into action. This not only damages his relationship with God and his wife, but could also cost him his life. And as James says, full-grown sin gives birth to death. You see, the Bible tells you and me, the wages of sin is death. You see, what we earn when we sin against God is the death penalty. And we're talking about the second death, the death that is talked about in Revelation chapter 20, when everyone has to stand before the judgments, the great white throne of God, and they stand and books are opened up, and those books are recording the sin that you have done. And then there's one book that's open, and that book is called the Book of Life. And every name that is in there, if there's not a name written in that book, they will be cast into the lake of burning sulfur. You see, God is going to one day hold us accountable. One day is going to hold humanity accountable for its sin. And the good news is, though the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. You see, God knows that we need help. And see, the Bible tells us when we were without strength, God sent his Son. We couldn't help ourselves. We couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't rid ourselves of this. God sent his Son in order to help us overcome sin. God sent his Son to wash our sins away, and not just wash them away, but to take it as far as the east is from the west. God is great, and God's mercy is wonderful. And as Christians, we need to remember what God has to say about these about sexuality. We need to understand what God's word says and remember what he says. You need to understand this battle is happening. See, my message today isn't aimed at those who are in this community and what's going on this month with all of this, but my aim is to those who identify as followers of Jesus Christ. My aim today is to speak to you, church, to speak to you, to remember what God's word says. See, we cannot lose the battle. We cannot lose the battle in our minds against sexual sin. We must be holy as He is holy. See, I'm convinced that the reason our culture is being swept away by this religion, it is because the church has been asleep at the wall. You see, they're supposed to be watchmen on a wall. You know, in great cities, big cities that had walls, they had people watching for the enemy or watching for people who were coming near the wall to warn. If it was friendly, they would tell you, hey, friendly, we let them in. But when they saw the enemy coming, they had to raise the alarm. And some had trumpets, some had gongs that they banged, all kinds of different ways that they got the attention of the people and say, hey, the enemy's coming. But what's happening is the church, who's supposed to be the watchman on the wall, God's people, unfortunately, many of us are asleep at the wall. And the enemy has come in. He's come in unaware. And we're off guard and we're reacting. And God wants you to stop reacting and start acting upon His word. Start saying, Lord, I surrender. I surrender it all. Listen, it's time that we live by our convictions and not merely talk about them. It's time that we live by what we believe. Our enemy is living by what it believes. They're willing to die for what they believe, to some degree. I mean, we see it. I mean, Budweiser. What happened? They've lost $27 billion over putting a trans woman on their beer, and yet they continue because it's their religion. And you say, well, we would, and yes, there are also monies involved because there are ESG laws that you don't even know about. It's environmental social governance, and these things are happening in this world. They're being pressured by these allies of this movement. And the problem is that the people who are living in this, they're just being used. They're being used by Satan. And one day he's going to discard them like a rag. And my hope and my prayer is that if this message finds someone who's living in that way, that they would see the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I want you to know that, you know what, every person in this room, every person that's watching, every Christian that's in the church house today worshiping Jesus, we're like you. I want to remind you of what the Bible says. And we'll talk about our weapons next week. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I want to start in verse 9, and we're going to finish in verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. It says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexual immoral, nor the idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor the revilers, nor the swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Let me give you the hope right here. Look what it says. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Somebody say amen. That's good news, man, because you know what? I was in terrible shape before Jesus. And it's because of Him I'm standing here. I'm not better than you. I put my pants on just like you. I have desires that are raging within my heart just like you. The difference is that I surrendered to Jesus. And I recognized, I said, Lord, You are God. You are the Son of the living God. And I give You my life. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son, living God. I believe that you are Lord. I confess you as my Lord. Now, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And God did it. And that's why I'm here today. And my prayer is that that's what will happen in your life today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for speaking to us today. Lord, I know that someone may be watching later on when we put this up. Lord, I pray that you would minister to them. There is hope in you. There is salvation. There is deliverance. There is victory over the strongholds within our mind in Christ and in Him alone. And Lord, I pray today the first step is that they would recognize if they're lost and they don't know Christ. And I pray today that the conviction of the Holy Spirit will be upon them, that God, they would confess the Lord Jesus and believe in their hearts that God, you raised Him from the dead. And they'll believe on you, Lord, and that you'll fill them with the Holy Spirit. Lord, there are people walking around with unconfessed sin that they haven't agreed with you about what they've been doing. Christians, that this message might be convicting them right now. They've been living a certain way. They've been doing stuff. And they haven't come to you and said, Lord, I confess I have been doing this and this is wrong. This is not God honoring. This doesn't please you. You died on a cross for this. You were beaten to a bloody pulp for this kind of stuff. And Lord, today I confess it to you. And the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness, man. All you have to do is confess your sin to Him. Agree with God about it. Turn away from it. And He'll give you the victory. And He'll wash it away. Wash it clean. As if you never did it. He's our hope. And I pray today for Christians to awake, to awaken from their slumber. And to live by their convictions of the Word of God. We ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We love you. We'll see you next time. God bless you.